Today we are starting our series in Colossians. I'm very excited about this particular book. It's a small book, and I'm going to read to you the scriptures, and we're going to get right into it this morning. It goes like this, verse 3 to 14 of the first chapter. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyfully thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So our scripture today, Paul writes to a small church of young, fairly young believers, fairly young Christians. Paul has not had a chance to visit them yet, but he's looking forward to watching their spiritual journey as they move forward. And he's laying down in the beginning of this chapter a foundation. Because what was happening in those times were different types of philosophies and theologies were getting into the churches, not just this church, but many other churches, and Paul wanted to lay it down. It's not one of the options out there on the belief in God, it is the option. He wanted to make sure that they weren't blending other theologies and other philosophies in with the gospel message, and so he writes to them to make sure that they're staying on the path, and he wants to watch them as they grow, and he has been watching them. He's been excited about this. He didn't want them to have a watered-down Christian message of Christ. And so it's kind of a housekeeping message for Paul. He needed to address those issues to those particular readers, and he wanted them to be aware of the truth and to protect them against falsehoods that would be coming in the church. Now, this housekeeping issue. I don't know if you've heard, but we have acquired a puppy. And we went for a year without one. I got talked into it because I kept sending them pictures of puppies on my days. And they were like, you have to stop sending us puppies or we're going to end up buying one. Well, here we are. We have a puppy. We're very excited. But before we had picked up this puppy, we're like, we got to organize this house. We got to get it all sorted out. We got to, puppy-proof it. But we want it organized so that things are. And have you've ever organized your house and you go through and you put everything in the right spot, and then at the end of it, you have this feeling of accomplishment. You're like, oh, this feels fantastic. And it's going to stay this way. It's going to stay this way, and nothing's going to change. And Michelle and I usually sit down afterwards and we go, oh, we've completed an incredible task. And it will not get messed up. And then what happens? We mess it up. And as time goes on, we get busy. Things happen. That's why it gets disorganized again. Our home gets disorganized, and going back to the way it was before is a very frustrating feeling. If we're not careful, our spiritual lives can do this as well. Our spiritual lives can get disorganized. We've talked many times in previous messages, what is it that you think of when you wake up first in the morning? Is it all the tasks you have to do? Is it everything that, your responsibilities for the day? If it's not God, then he's not the priority. And we've been very clear on that here. Yes, there's other pressures, there's other responsibilities, and you can get to those. But recognizing the Lord at the beginning of the day means that He is on your mind and He is going to direct your paths. Very great proverb. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know this. If you've been online, if you're on social media at all, you'll know that there's a video going around about an admiral, a Navy admiral, who says, if you want to change the world, the first thing you should do in the morning is make your bed. How many of you have seen this video? A few of you. Okay, the rest of you, guess what? There's an admiral out there, and he said, if you want to change the world, the first thing you should do is make your bed. And the reason why he says that is because it's a task that you can do right off the bat. It's a task that is important, and once you do that, you've accomplished one thing already before you've even left your room. It's a good feeling. And then at the end of the day, when you come back, it's all ready and looks nice and organized, and you feel like, oh, it's beautiful. You pull back the sheets, you get in, and you go to bed. It's a good feeling. But there's science behind this, and there's a reason why that task is so important. It's because once you've accomplished one task, it helps you with the ability to move forward and do other tasks throughout the day. And you're accomplishing things as you go. So you feel good right off the bat because you've made this original task, you've done it, you've accomplished it, and now you can do the next one. And they've shown studies that say that successful people accomplish in a certain amount. They said 9, but I'm sure there's a whole bunch of different opinions out there. But accomplishing a task is super important because you feel good and you feel like, I can do this. So the science behind it is there. There's a lot of positive thinkers out there that talk about, hey, you know, this is a good thing, and that's all great. Positive thinking and all that me first stuff is okay for a certain amount of time, but they always in the end begin forgetting what really matters. And as they go through their life putting themselves first, they start to recognize, you know what, I'm missing something. They always go through this, and they always end up having an emptiness inside. So I'd like to make a little adjustment to this quote, because we know that science proves, social sciences prove, and biology proves that when we do things in repetition and we accomplish tasks, things move better. I would like to amend this, and I want to say, if you want to make a difference in the world that you live in, start by spending it with God, and then make your bed. And then make your bed. When you start your day off with Him, He will be the center of everything you do throughout your day. And I have to explain it to you this way because this is something I know very well. As a fireman, when I head to the fire hall, there's a lot of things that have to happen in the morning before I get on the truck. And when I get on that truck, before I get there, I have to take my gear out, make sure my gear is ready to go quickly. I can get in, get out. I have all my stuff. I put it in a spot. There's a routine. I go through this routine. And then I go to my pack, which is my air-breathing apparatus, and I go through system checks. And I check to make sure I have enough air. I check to make sure that all the belts are extended because there's some tiny guys in the fire hall that like to crank them right up, and it's not comfortable. So I make sure that it's set for me. Pull them right out. I go through the computer on this, and there's been times when I've showed up to the fire hall and the pack that I'm using has no batteries in it because somebody forgot. It happens, but that's why we check. That's why we check our packs. And so I went through the system check and there were no batteries. So I had to go find some batteries, put them in, make sure my pack is in. Because if I go to what this pack does is it tells me in my mask, a heads-up display, how much air I have in it and all that good stuff, so that if I go into a fire, I know that, oh, I can see the lights, I have this amount much of air. When I'm kneeling at a door, I turn everything on, put it on, and if all of a sudden I go, where's the beeping noises, where's what's happening here, and I can't read how much air I have, there's no safety pass device, which if I get trapped will go off, people can find me, there's a whole bunch of things that are involved in this. So I have to make sure that it works properly. And then after that, I have to go through all the medical equipment. I have to go through all the saws and all the things that need to start on a pole. Boom. All this has to be done before I do anything else. Before I get a cup of coffee. Which, by the way, I need. Before I do anything, this all has to be laid out. And it's the same with any other emergency service worker. It's the same with doctors, nurses. I was about to say doctors, lawyers. That's just kind of a habit. Doctors, nurses. I don't know what lawyers do. Doctors, nurses, search and rescue, paramedics. They all have to go through because you have to be able to reach, grab things, and know where they are. You don't want to get in a situation where you're like, oh, sorry, I can't save you from that burning building today because I forgot to put batteries in my pack. So we have to be very careful. We have to lay out. And you know how I know that I've run into, you know how I know this is a dangerous thing? Not because somebody told me, do this and you'll be safe, because I've forgotten. And I've gotten in, and I went to a call, and things weren't working right. So I know better. It's the same in our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives can get this way, where we forget to do our safety checks. And it's a discipline. It's a discipline of principles that we must do on a daily basis to keep our relationship with God fresh, to hear what he's saying to us. Not only that, we have to grow. We have to dig deeper. As a fireman, I have to learn more. I can't just go with what I knew 10 years ago. There's new stuff happening all the time. I have to be reading up on that. It's the same in our spiritual lives. So if I take my physical health and the health of others as important when I'm a fireman, I have to take the spiritual health of myself and of others more importantly than that. Because there are eternal consequences that are at stake. And so if I don't do these checks, there could be a problem. And in our personal lives and our personal walk with God, we need to do our own personal safety checks. Prayer, time with God, devotions, reading his word, hearing what he's saying. Before we go out and take on the day, before we get in that car, before we go to work and deal with people in our circle of influence that maybe need to hear from God and you're the one that's going to help them. There's so many important aspects that can happen throughout our day. And if we're not in tune with God, if he's not first in our thoughts, then we will miss those opportunities while we're out and about throughout our day and throughout our week. And we need to continually start working on knowing him more. Because what happens when we go deeper in the word, when we dig into scripture, what happens is our relationship with Jesus gets stronger. And then we begin to produce spiritual fruits. Why? Because spiritual fruits are the product of our relationship with God. Colossians 1, verse 10 and 11, as we read earlier, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, there's a reason why love is mentioned here first. We live in a time where love in our culture has turned into just a feeling. Usually it's a self-serving feeling, but culture isn't all that bad. We don't want to knock everything in culture because there are good parts of our culture. There is a part in our culture where love can be self-sacrificing, but the scriptures don't talk about love just as a feeling. The scriptures say love is a command. It's not a feeling. Feelings cannot be commanded. I can't tell Michelle how to feel. I can't do it. I can't command her, Michelle, you will feel this way. First of all, that's going to go bad in a big way. And I can't command her. And she can't do that to me. You can't do that to anyone to say, you must love me. You can't. You can't make them feel. Love throughout the Bible is not about emotions, and there is an aspect of that, but it has to do with actions that aim to improving the welfare of others. And it follows that pattern of God sending his son to die on the cross for us. And so we should strive to continually grow spiritually and be mature in obedience. And as we do that, we will understand what love is all about. And it's not about us. And so we talk about all this and we say, okay, well, now what? Well, if you want to change the world around you, you need to start by making God first in your day. We've talked about that, but Andy Stanley has a great quote. He says, we don't drift into good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. Let me say that again. We don't drift into good directions. We discipline and prioritize our life, or prioritize our life there. If you've ever been out on a boat, you'll know that if you just turn off the motors, it's going to take you wherever it wants. You don't just happen to drift into the great direction. You're just following wherever it goes. And eventually, you're going to end up on the rocks. You end up all over the place. You see, the Christian faith for believers is to live out the principles of the Christian walk, to live a life worthy of the Lord, as it says in verse 10 of this chapter. Now, if you don't know those principles and you don't act out on those principles, you will drift away. And faith is not just something to think about and to discuss. It's not just something we believe. Faith is something that is lived. It is lived. And then faith acts on what it believes. So don't miss out on this. Faith acts on what it believes. What are you acting on daily, in your daily walk? What are you acting on? If you want to change the world, we need to make God our first priority in the mornings. If you want to change the world around us, you need to be intentional in growing in your relationship with God. You're not going to just drift into a great relationship with God. You have to plan. You have to have purpose. You have to have intention. Don't let God be your backup plan or an afterthought throughout your day or throughout your week. Get into the Word. Join a life group. There's a great one happening. You just heard about it this morning. Jump on that. Go there. You're going to learn a lot. Go to a life group. Have people pour into you and you pour into others. Have some tough discussions that will challenge the ways of your thinking and your religious habits that may or may not hold you back from a deeper relationship with God. And don't get offended by the tough questions that are out there. There's some tough questions out there that, you know what? It's okay to ask a tough question. Even a question that you may find a slight bit offensive, it's okay. Listen, hear it. Because if you just block all that stuff out, how will you get deeper in your relationship with God? Listen, hear, work through that. Because when you're in the Word, you know the mind of God because it's right here. It's in the Word. We have this. He can help us understand Him. We're never going to figure it all out, but we can have a good idea. So get into that Word. Remember, faith acts on what it believes. Be intentional. Verse 4 says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. See, they had love for others, and they had a strong faith, meaning they were acting on what they believed, which meant coming together, having discussions, digging into the Word, prayer for others, loving their neighbor as they do themselves. We have to offer that social support to one another in order to sustain and strengthen our faith. So be intentional in your growth and do it out of love. Remember, faith acts on what it believes. If you want to change the world, be intentional. If you want to change the world in your circle, stay the course. Verse 11 says, being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. If faith is the action of belief, then when you believe and place trust in God, that faith and trust does not give up, even in the struggles in life. Yes, you will have struggles in life. And there will be times when you want to quit. But in the long run, you stay the course. We all have doubts. We all have frustrations. We all wonder why God is going through, putting us through things. Because we always think about, why am I going through this? Ask Job. When you place your trust in him, it's not a blind trust, but it's a confident expectation that he is going to fulfill his purposes and his plan, not our personal dreams. It's a secondary. And when you read into his word, you understand there's a bigger picture. It's not just about us. Because you're going to start with him in the morning and he's going to speak to you. You're going to be intentional about learning what he has to say. And you're going to ride out those valleys and stay the course. There's a bigger picture here in his plans. Once you surrender control to him, your personal control, your plans, your life, that's when you're going to see things in a different light, I guarantee and promise you. If you want to change the world around you, you know what to do.